Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
It's time for another weekly mega event. Mm. It's the IGN UK podcast. Let's get loose. Oh. Emma, Joe, are we feeling loose?
I'm feeling loose.
I feel too early to be loose. Like, usually it takes me till about 12 p.m, I'd say, to feel truly loose.
We're at 10 to 11, recording, so it's an early, or maybe we'll still have some of that, you know, I know you have... I was going to say, you have some sort of manic dreams. Maybe they'll transfer into this. I don't know.
I don't know if you did have
manic dreams last night.
I very rarely remember my dreams, but when I do, they are absolutely bonkers.
I don't think that will surprise anyone.
No, they're really weird. Yeah. And they're very rarely disturbing. Just enough to make you question yourself. That's the level of dream I go for.
Do you ever have ones with like people you haven't thought about in like 15 years? You're like, Why am I dreaming about you? Not even like, you know, people you know, but just celebrities you haven't thought of in like 15 years. Like, what's going on?
Like who?
I don't know. As soon as you say it, I can't think of an
example. Is this because you're thinking of sitcoms at the moment?
Well, there was the one, I think I tweeted it out maybe a year ago. It was a particularly bizarre dream. So I'm the same. I don't really remember them unless they're odd. But I was house hunting. And I was just, as me, house hunting, looking around houses, some nice houses, until one time, the first time I saw a mirror in the house, and I looked in the mirror, and I was actually Joe Pesci.
Wow. That's a great dream.
Who is about half the size of me, so it's odd.
That's like some John Malkovich shit. It's like you're wandering about, your consciousness is intact, but you are piloting Joe Pesci around. Mm-hmm. Do you get Joe Pesci's money in that situation? Do you have his wallet?
I don't know. I think I was just me, but I looked like Joe Pesci.
That's a shame.
But like Goodfellas, Joe Pesci. Another similar one was when I used to have these sort of dreams all the time, and they're horrible. The ones where you're trying to get to a place you can never get there, because like the trains are you can just never get to where you're trying to go.
Says a lot about your life.
Very deeply. Yeah, it's deep there, isn't it? But there was one where I was trying to get to my mate's house, who only lives probably about half an hour away, and I just couldn't get there, and I finally got there, and I rung the doorbell.
And it was Joe Pesci.
It wasn't Joe Pesci, it was Nick Hewer from the
DIYS. I'm thinking of Nick Knowles.
Nick Knowles. No, from The Apprentice and Countdown. And he just said, and he just went, he doesn't live here anymore. And the dream ended.
Oh, wow.
I had a series of dreams when I was younger that of being pushed off of tall places, but the difference was that it was always the same two friends who were pushing me off.
No.
Oh my gosh.
And I really like them. They're both really nice guys. I don't know.
You're still friends? They haven't betrayed you?
Not that I'm aware of, unless they've been working behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Jono and Richard.
Emma, have you ever dreamed of Nick Hewer? Or Nick Knowles, maybe?
I can't say I have. Sorry to disappoint you.
It would have been an incredible coincidence if you had. Jesus!
If you have no idea who those people are, especially Nick Hewer, because you are not from the UK, don't worry, we're going to have something very UK-centric coming up later on this podcast you may well be lost on, so we apologise. As always, there's plenty of good stuff coming. It's actually a bit of a slow week. We've got a few little updates of what we've been playing and watching. And we've got like a couple. We thought we'd just have a little bit of a feature week. We've got some new features coming up, so we'll get to those. But first, Emma, I believe you've been playing the big new Apex Legends update.
I have been. I really like it. I always do this thing with Apex where I'll buy the Battle Pass and then just stop playing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, casual.
It's because you've achieved something. It's
exactly. Like, I bought it. I got those skins in tier one. I'm good. Mm-hmm. So I sort of started playing again, like trying to finish off all the Battle Pass right before the new season started. But the new season is actually really good and I'm enjoying it. So I've been playing since it came out, and there's some cool new stuff. So we've got a new legend, who's Seer. And he's kind of like, if you've played Apex before, he's kind of like Bloodhound. He's like a tracker. So his passive, like, if you aim down sights, you can, like, kind of hear and visualize the heartbeats of, like, nearby enemies.
Okay.
So he's really good for, like, just finding other people on these, like, massive maps.
Would you say he's more useful than Bloodhound? Because I never played as Bloodhound, but always had a Bloodhound on my team, and they're very useful. Like, is... Does Seer help the other team members out? Is it purely for him?
Oh, yeah, for sure. So I really like Bloodhound as well. But I have switched to Seer, and so far I'm having a pretty good time. Like, I play duos usually. So right now our sort of combo is Seer and Valkyrie. So it's like, if you don't see anyone, you've got, like, my abilities as Seer, where I can just, like, sniff them out if they're nearby. And if we're too far away from anyone, you've got Valkyrie, who can literally just, like, fly up into the air and then spot people. So it's great, yeah, just for hunting people down. Because I find, like, especially on the larger map, World's Edge, you kind of want, it's so spread out and massive that it can be, like, ages until you actually come across someone. And I hate that. I hate the downtime. So it's great. Yeah. Like, Seer is perfect for being, like, aggressive, which I really like.
And I just think in any Battle Royale game as well, like, information, knowing where people is the key to winning, really, isn't it? You can be the best shooter in the world, but if you don't know someone's behind you, it's just done.
Aren't people already quite upset with Seer because of that ability? Like, I think there's people complaining,
is it,
right?
Is it too powerful?
Yeah. He's a bit too good. So, like, I think also everyone is picking Seer right now as well because he's so good. When you're actually in an area where you've got, like, maybe two or three different, like, squads, it's just, like, so much going on the screen. Because his tactical will have, like, it's sort of like a little cone that goes ahead of you, and it will summon these, like, little micro drone type things. And that will sort of set off this blast, and it will, like, reveal people that are around. And the cooldown for that's only, like, 30 seconds. Which isn't that long, actually. Like, if you're in a fight, that, like, goes really quickly. And then you've got his ult as well. So you put down this, like, little sphere box thing, and that's got drones in it as well. And that will, like, reveal all the enemies that are, like, within that, like, area. So it has this, like, big dome thing that comes up. And having, like, two or three Zeers together all using their abilities is manic. There's so much going on. But yeah, like, when I've been playing with Seer, we've been doing pretty well. Wins, unfortunately. We came second yesterday, which made me really sad. But yeah, like, I can see why people are a little bit upset with Seer, because he's very fun to play, but not so fun to play against.
Yeah, that's always the case, isn't it? With new, I'm sure they'll balance out eventually. Apex, I think, historically have done a good job of balancing it. I don't feel... Well, there maybe have been characters that have been a bit too much, but they have quickly addressed that, so hopefully they do that. And I don't know, I always look at Apex and I think maybe, because when it came out, I did play it quite a bit for a few months, and then Warzone came out and it just took over as my Battle Royale of choice. I do look at it and go, oh, it's very nice. I do love the shooting. It's very colourful, which I appreciate. Like, why is now a good time to jump back in, do you think?
I think whenever you've got a new character, it's always fun. There's also a new weapon, which I really like. It's called the Rampage. So it's got a cool name already. It's an LMG. And what I really like about it is it uses heavy ammo. And, like, there are a few other heavy guns in the game, but this one feels, like, especially heavy. Like, when you're holding down, like, mouse one, every shot feels, like, really weighty. And, like, just it has, like, a really positive feel to it. Which I love about it. So I've been using that as well. And I just like LMGs in general. LMGs and assault rifles. That's my kind of...
Yeah, I'm never into LMGs. I like being a bit... I just find they slow me down. I'm an assault rifle or SMG. Like, especially in... Actually, to be fair, Apex is probably one of the games I do use LMGs. Because I used to... Like, I just think the Spitfire is great. And I did use the Devotion quite a bit.
Devotion is amazing with turbocharger. Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know if I'll jump back in. I don't know if that's enough. Like, I jumped back in a few months ago when they added, what was it? Was it Arenas, the 3v3 mode? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, that was in the last
season.
And I
enjoyed that for a few days, but then I kind of saw the cracks in it quite quickly and got a little bored of it. So I think I might have deleted Apex again. But maybe I'll download it again. Who knows?
Give it a go. Go on.
I officially... I don't know if either of you use the GG app, which is basically letterboxed for games, which I love. I'm afraid to say I officially moved Apex into my abandoned section the other day. I was like, I just can't see myself going back. Because even Warzone, I'm a little bit tired of now. I haven't found a battle royale to occupy me for a little while. I'm wondering whether we're going to see more or whether that trend is like tailing off.
I feel like a few have tried, haven't they? So like Hyperscape, Hyperscape kind of came and went, didn't really do much. I don't know. Yeah, I know what you mean. I feel like if you're going to release a battle royale now with Fortnite, Warzone, Apex still being massive games, it needs to be something special, doesn't it? Like, there's a rumoured maybe Battlefield will do one after 2042 launches. Like, they have the pedigree.
I just don't think they should. I think it's just at the point where it's like Battlefield should just focus on the thing people want, which is Battlefield.
Exactly.
I am interested in the fact that there was that little thing found in the files for Halo Infinite that said Battle Royale. And I'm like, I don't know if I need it, but I would quite like to try it. Because that is further on the Apex side of things, where it's like shields and a lot more defense, like a lot more time to kill. And I wonder whether that makes it a bit more up my street, like a bit more dynamic and a bit more forgiving on just the situational awareness stuff. Like, those are the bits... Like, when we get killed straight away in Warzone, which happens relatively quickly a lot of the time, you go like... There is a bit of me where I'm just like, this is a fucking waste of time. Like, why did I even bother turning this match on? But then when you do really well, it's great. So
They are bringing 50v50 back in a new mode soon, Joe.
So it is good shit, to be fair.
Chance to shine. maybe. I don't know. I don't know if I need another shooting Battle Royale. Because, like, yeah, I think Warzone is what I want from it. So I think, surprisingly, that Hunter's Arena Legends is on PS Plus this month. And I've seen some people say it's actually quite good.
I don't even know what that is.
It's surprising. It's the one, we did mention it briefly when it was on, I think it was in the State of Play. It's that weird, like, melee, almost fighting game Battle Royale.
Oh.
Look it up. You'll know it when you'll see it, as soon as
you see it. Oh, yeah. No, I do know which one.
Some people say it's actually quite good fun. So,
but then there's, at the same time as that, there's that Naraka Blade Point, which everyone says is wicked as well. So I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to bloody do
too
about Battle Royale. Come on, guys.
Yeah.
It's a lot of choice.
It's too much.
Exactly. Maybe it is time for a new genre to enter the arena. Could this genre be the dodgeball simulator? Because not only this year have we had Knockout City, which is a very fun game. I don't know if anyone here has played Knockout City.
I played it for a bit and went, I'm shit at this, and turned it off.
I initially was, but then once you learn how to, like, the key is passing, which I don't, you know, maybe isn't natural in a dodgeball thing to pass it around, but it's good once you get good at it, I think. But also, I've been playing Dodgeball Academia, which is kind of, it's a dodgeball game, but it's the complete opposite of what Knockout City is, which is a PvP game. This is a kind of small RPG in the vein of like a Golf Story, if you've played that. It's just like a nice, pleasant sports RPG game, and it's kind of what I wanted the Mario Golf Story mode to be and what they kind of used to be, which is you're a kid, turns up at a dodgeball academy, and you're trying to rise your way to the top. And you're playing dodgeball, and the dodgeball itself is fine. It is dodgeball, but it's almost kind of a fighting game. So you've got like, obviously you've got a catch the ball, but you have counters and characters have special moves, and you're trying to build your team up, and you collect items that give you boosts, and you have coins you can buy stuff. So it has genuinely got RPG elements to it, which is what I like. It's not just a simple story game. And yeah, I've only played about an hour of it so far. It's on Game Pass, so you can play it for free and check it out. But it's very pleasant so far. I really like the art style of it. It's almost like a weekend morning cartoon style. It's like a 3D kind of... It's a 3D world, but all the characters are 2D.
They look like... I'd never heard of this before you started talking about it. I've just looked it up.
Yeah.
It reminds me of, like, Fairly Odd Parents or something, that style.
It does. It's got that Cartoon Network thing. And I don't know if anyone ever played these, but it reminds me... I have a really soft spot... Probably on like the turn of the millennium online, like the Cartoon Network's games page had some good games on there online. And they, like, there was some, I can't remember, they were almost like adventure games they had, that like summer camps, I can't remember what they're called. It almost has that sort of vibe to it, and I don't know, it's kind of, it's just really pleasant. It's not the most, like, so far, It's not the most challenging gameplay. It's not the most exciting gameplay, but it's just very nice. The music's nice. And it just has a cast of bizarre characters. Like, my best friend at the moment is Balloony, who is just like a character who's got a blue balloon as a head, basically. And I'm just a boy, and he's a balloon head. And there's a purple gorilla who's kind of the school bully a bit. He's the best there. It's kind of pleasantly quirky. So, and like I said, it's definitely on PlayStation. I'm not sure if it's on Switch. I should look that up. But it is on Game Pass. So if you want a free game to check out this weekend, I'd say it's very nice. It is on Switch. There we go. Oh, and I didn't realize this. I have to preface this. It is a Humble Bundle game, which is a company owned by Ziff Davis, the company that owns IGN. So there we go. I have to preface any critical opinion by saying it is a Humble Bundle game.
But he's been paid.
I didn't even know
he's
that
been
until
paid.
Two seconds.
He's been
I
paid.
I didn't even know that until 2 seconds ago.
Pitchforks so out, boys. Let's get him.
Exactly. I am such a shill for dodgeball games.
You
it's
are.
Unbelievable.
That is actually true, though. I think if you could be a shill for dodgeball games, you would do it. I think
is
that's your only weakness.
A lot of money in that, in being a shill for dodgeball
could
games?
Be if we keep getting them, mate. Maybe it's the new battle royale.
Yeah. Could but, be a dodgeball just, game influencer.
Yeah,
exactly.
Can I quickly jump in with yes. another game I played? It's very. You,
Go on.
I feel like every time I talk about new games I'm playing, they're either well. Games I'm playing, they're either really fucking old and everyone's already talked about them on the podcast. Incidentally, I finished Final Fantasy VII Remake. It's quite good. And I'm really enjoying the Yuffie chapter. Or I'm just talking about games that I find really relaxing, which makes it sound like I have this horrific life where I need to just play games that relieve stress. But here's another one. If you've enjoyed Cloud Gardens or Dwarf Romantic for their ability to calm you right down. It's a very different kind of game, but there's one that came out this week called The Ramp. Have you seen The Ramp?
I have seen that. It looks very nice.
It's basically a very beautiful little toy where you just skateboard in it. It's I hate this term, but if you need it put this way, it is barely a game. Basically, there's no end goal, there's nothing to it, it's just a simple set of controls, like really well implemented in four different little skate parks, so like a pool, an empty pool, a ramp, and like a little, like a, what's a skate bowl? You know, like a bowl which you skate in.
Yeah, the skate park.
Yeah, I guess, tiny skate park. And you just tool about in it. There's a few different tricks, and you just like plays really nice music, and the music kind of interacts with your play, and you can spend half an hour in it doing absolutely fuck all, and that's what I like out of games now, apparently. It's really nice. I highly recommend it. It's only on Steam at the moment, I think, but it's like okay. £4. It's really good.
That reminds me, because I played an hour of Dodgeball Academia last night, and I was just kind of browsing Game Pass, and I played an hour of Skate 3. I was like, do you know what? I'm going to boot up Skate 3, and I played the first hour of Skate 3. I forgot how mad that intro is, where the live-action sequence for 5 minutes in the forest.
I love all those live-action things they did. They really make me nostalgic. Yeah. Skate 3 is the worst skate game, though, and anyone who disagrees is
wrong. Oh,
yeah,
but, you know, I think, maybe I'm wrong. It was the only one on Game Pass. Is 2-1 Game Pass?
I don't... It might be, actually.
I don't know. Maybe I just downloaded 3 because I don't remember 3 as much.
Not sure. It's annoying that it went on Game Pass because I spent like £30 on a copy of Skate 3 a while back in a like fit of I need to play Skate, and it was the only one I could find in CEX. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, yeah. Had a nice little time with Skate. Something else we've been having a nice little time with is Ted Lasso because it's back. The third episode is out today of season 2. I've watched that third episode. I'm 3 episodes in.
Same as.
That would be the case if you've watched the third episode, you would be 3 episodes in.
What?
I know. It's,
can
it's
I get
mad,
a calculator?
Isn't it?
One sec. He's right.
He's done it again. Has everyone watched the first 3 episodes?
I have.
I've watched the first two.
No worries. It's more Ted Lasso, which is very nice.
Is it? I don't know if it's because it's been a while since I watched season 1. But is this season immediately going for, like, tugging the heartstrings in a way that season 1 didn't do
while? So that's what I'm feeling, especially with episode 3.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like they know what they've got now, and they're... I don't want to say pandering, because that sounds, that has negative connotations.
But they're playing to the crowd. Like, it feels like what people came out of Ted Lasso liking wasn't the fact that it was actually quite a good comedy in places. It was more that it just made everyone cry.
And they're definitely going, and this is always the thing. Like, I enjoy Ted Lasso. I don't want to sound negative. Oh, I think it's very good. It's very fun. I don't love it as much as the majority of the world, I think. Like, it wasn't like my show of the year last year, where it's everyone's like favorite thing they watched. I think it's very good, and I think part of that is just like I can suspend my belief on things. I'm very good at like in any like mad sci-fi concept, I'm like, I'm in. I think when it's closer to home, it's almost harder for me to be like, this is ridiculous, like, because like I like football so much, like I'm just like, and I know you have to suspend that disbelief, and I'm doing it. I'm not moaning at the show for not being a realistic football show, but some of the storylines, especially season two, I'm like, what world are we in here? Like, especially with, if you remember Jamie Tart,
the Jamie Tart stuff is wild.
Yeah, like, this is not how football works. And I know that's a ridiculous, it's almost a ridiculous criticism of a show to be like, that's not how football works, but it does pull me specifically out slightly, where I'm like, I just like, what are we doing here? And I do feel like three episodes in anyway, like the football is kind of in the background, whereas, you know, season one it was all about them trying to stay up, it was about trying to turn the team around, whereas this season is definitely about the personal relationships between people. It's more about like, they can, I think they've maybe shown one tiny bit of football in the first three episodes.
By episode three, aren't they like 20 something games into the season? So it's like, it's just like, who cares?
Yeah,
like,
who we'll cares get on about it. That, yeah.
I do find myself like, I really like it. I had a couple of beers last night and I watched a couple of episodes and I was genuinely sitting there like teary eyed, being like, oh, so nice. Everyone's so nice. I love them. I do find myself teetering during episodes, being like, is this like really well written, like, like pleasant, you know, like wide-eyed, like pleasant story writing, or is this like actually quite manipulative? Like, there's bits where I'm just like,
I know what you mean.
Are you just trying to make me cry rather than like telling a story that happens to get to that place? And I don't know, maybe I don't know. Maybe that's fine.
Yeah, a bit like that. I would say as well, in season three, they are kind of season two. I think they're trying to hint on. In episode three, they're definitely trying to hit on some issues that are maybe relevant in real life and in real football as well. And I did think, like, there's one bit where, I don't want to spoil it, they use like a couple of real place names and like kind of accuse countries of stuff. And I'm like, is there going to be any backlash to this kind of just painting whole countries in a light? I don't know.
Well,
I don't,
yeah, maybe I'm looking... mean, they use like a fake company and stuff though, right? And, like,
yeah, yeah, but they use a place, yeah, that's name true, that's in true, that company. Yeah. I'm like, I wouldn't be happy with that if I was from that place. I'm like, oh, okay. But yeah, I don't know. Emma, are you enjoying it?
I'm really enjoying it. Yeah, it's just like, it's a nice little wholesome show, isn't it? Mm. It's sweet, it's warm. I like how, how deep are we going in terms of like spoilers and stuff? I don't want to ruin it if people
haven't
listened.
Yeah, let's not spoil it too much.
Let's not spoil season two.
Keep it like general. Okay, yeah. So like, I think one thing I'm really interested in is like, not just kind of like what the team is up to and what they're having to deal with right now, but also just like how in the first season you had like, obviously Ted, he's such a friendly person and just tries to get on with like everyone. And he had some people that he kind of had to win over, like in the first season, and then he like succeeded and it was like, yeah, everyone's happy and friendly, like a big family, big football family. And yeah, I like that there are like new characters that he kind of has to win over in this as well. And it's interesting to see like how they're different, and how they're dealing with that. I think already we're starting to see like some of these characters warm up to him though, which I thought it would be a much longer process.
It does feel like a show that really doesn't want that conflict arc again, where it's like in the first series you had that wide, like, you know, she's trying to sabotage him stuff, whereas in this season it doesn't feel like there's one giant storyline that's going to carry over. It's kind of more
it doesn't really feel like too much of a Ted Lasso show either, because I'm not sure really sure what his character arc is over this season. I'm not sure what, because he's not in it a whole lot compared to some of, like, they seem to be focusing on some of the other characters a lot more, which is not a bad thing, because I think he, like, Jason Sudeikis is great when he turns up and delivers his little lines, which are very good. I do like his little metaphors and stuff, but yeah, I'm excited to see the rest. It's yeah, I'm enjoying it just the same. Like, I'll watch it all, I'll enjoy it, but I just, yeah, I won't think about it too hard, I think is the best way to watch that show.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, don't pretend that it's doing anything other than what it is.
It's no Dream Team, is what I'm saying.
No. Dream Team. It's basically a documentary, that show.
That is the thing, because, like, it's a rare, like, football thing that's translating massively over to America, and everyone in America is watching it. I'm like, I do wonder, like, if we showed them Dream Team, would they go, this is amazing drama?
I do have... Like, or would they... I know we said this in about the last season as well, but is it, like... It feels massively patronizing that they have to put in American language for some of this stuff. Like, when there's a character who says, like, I followed you for a couple of blocks, and someone's, and they keep talking about ties. They're getting ties, not draws, and stuff like that. And I'm like, do we really think that, like, an American audience literally can't understand the term draw or, like, I don't even know what, like, streets. Like,
yeah,
it feels really bizarre to me. Like, blocks don't even exist in London. Like, there is no such thing as a block. So it's just, I just find that really strange. Like, I don't know why they insist on it.
It's a weird hybrid mishmash of a show, isn't it? But ultimately, very nice and enjoyable. Hopefully this is something that'll be very nice and enjoyable, and probably will alienate quite a few people. But that's kind of what we're good at, I think. So we thought, there's not a lot, whole lot to talk about this week, so let's come up with a couple of features. So the first one we've got is a couple of weeks back, well, maybe even a month ago now, the Nickelodeon, like, Smash Bros game was announced. Can't remember exactly, I should have written down what it was actually called.
I think it's Nickelodeon All-Stars.
There we go, Nickelodeon All-Stars. And we thought, that's all well and good, I like some of those characters, they're not necessarily the ones closest to my heart though. So we thought, why don't we come up with the British sitcom Super Smash Bros game. I don't know what we want to call it. Maybe British sitcom Smash? BSS?
BSS.
Basically, we're going to have three characters each. We're going to build our roster from the history of British sitcom. And, yeah, but, like, maybe how they fight. I don't know. We're kind of going fairly loose with this. But it could be fun to see. Like, imagine playing on this roster of heroes, frankly, that we're going to come up with it. And I don't know what either of you have come up with, so we could have some duplicates. I doubt it, though, because that would be very bizarre if we've managed to pick duplicates of these characters.
There's a lot of sitcoms, so...
Yeah. So who wants to go first? Someone go first.
I'll go.
Go on.
Go.
Go straight in with the greatest British sitcom, Garth Marenghi's Dark Place. But I'm not going for Garth Marenghi. I'm going for Dr. Lucien Sanchez, played by Matt Berry. And there's a very good reason for this, right? Because he fits. Because number one, dude does kung fu. Like, that is a big part of that show, is that he's constantly doing that thing where he does, like,
Wah! Yeah.
Like, if you don't know, I did that thing that kung fu people do with their hands. You'll know what I mean. So he's got fighting. Like, I think a lot of British sitcoms, to their detriment, do not focus on the fighting styles of the characters in them.
Yeah, you really have to think outside the box on some of these. So, like, how would they fight?
So I'm thinking Lucien Sanchez comes straight in with quite a technical, fight, in-game style, a lot of different moves, stances. Thinking like Tekken style character stances.
He's a mixed martial artist, basically. He's a master of the art.
Yeah, he's got moves. he's very flexible, but crucially, he also has a gun. So he's got a little pistol that he whips out every now and then as well.
Some range.
And I think that's, I don't know if I'd use that as, like, I'm thinking that more, again, like Tekken, like any character with a gun or a sword or something usually uses them for special moves, not as, like, standard moves. So I'm thinking your Smash style specials. If we're going for an ultimate, mate, Liz Asher comes in, uses her psychic powers, throws forks and stuff at people. That would be great.
That's fantastic.
And also,
have
just
you
the voiceover.
Garth Marenghi, Emma?
I haven't.
Oh my God.
I'm just in awe at the moment of this description.
It's the greatest show of all time.
You are in the position of many viewers right now, and it should be fixed because it actually just went on Amazon Prime in the US.
Yeah.
So US people can watch it for, like, very previously quite difficult to see, but it's only 6 episodes ever made and should watch it.
It's incredible.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And also, he's got...
And it's on 4OD over here, so it's easy to watch.
Can you imagine Matt Berry doing voice lines for this game as well? Like, it'd be so good.
Wow.
Well, just him going,
K.O.
Yeah, I don't know what situation this would happen in, but you would have to get in him going, you and he were buddies, weren't you? That's just what I want to hear all the
That's
time.
That's like his intro line when he walks into the fight.
Yeah.
Are we thinking this is like a Super Smash? Because we haven't really talked about it too much. Is this like a Super Smash style game with like 8 characters on screen, or is this more like a Tekken, like one-on-one?
In my head, this is straight up Smash Brothers clone. Like, yeah, it's cool. It's ultimates, it's special moves, and it's silliness. Bombast.
Exactly. That's a great first pick. So we have got Sanchez.
Yeah.
From Garengi into the arena. Emma, who have you got first up?
All right, I'm going to keep it classic. So I'm going Only Fools and Horses.
Yes.
You have to pick Del Boy, right?
Okay.
Okay, so first
What's he got
off,
up his sleeve?
He's dressed as Batman. Right?
Okay. Yes. That's a licensing issue straight out of the gate, but we'll
So yeah, we've got knockoff Batman. It can be like wrong colours and maybe it's not a bat, maybe it's like a weird sort of bird or something.
Flying squirrel.
A horse.
But yeah,
a horse.
Flying squirrel, horse, yeah, something like that. But it's definitely Batman, right? So one of his moves would be like, so you know how he's a wheeler dealer.
He definitely is.
He's going to be one of those characters that like stands on the edge of the stage, and while everyone else is fighting, he's just throwing out like random stuff in hopes of hitting someone. So like toasters, VHS tapes, three-wheeled vans, just absolute
whole
nonsense.
Three-wheeled
well,
van.
That's it. I'm thinking like ultimate. It's the what is it? A Robin Reliant just like drives
Reliant
onto the
Robin,
Reliant
yeah.
Robin just like fucking slams onto the stage from the other side. That'd be great.
That'd be
Why
so
isn't
good.
This being made?
Which I
is
know,
actually,
right?
Which is actually Batman's ultimate in Injustice. So you could basically just steal that move.
Can someone just mod this Injustice with Del Boy?
Is Del Boy as Batman with the right one?
That would be so good. Please. Oh. Okay. So another move. So, you know, like Mario's got his like got water more. Pistol type or whatever it is. Yeah. He's got a hose, right?
Mm.
So Del's also ripping that off, but it's attached to a Peckham Spring water bottle.
Oh, right. Okay. Yep. That's a classic episode. I see you're well versed in Only Fools and Horses.
Yeah. I gave this a lot of thought. Once you told me, I was like, okay, I've got to think of some good
stuff. You really
stuff.
Have. You put guess. Way more thought into this than I have.
If there is an ultimate move, I could guess now what it might entail.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, let's see. So we're sort of a mishmash of characters here. So, you know, Ness has got like his like PK fire and then his bat. So Del's got kind of his own version of that combo. So he like sort of, he's wearing, at this point, he'll have his sheepskin coat on, right?
Okay, quick change, outfit change.
quick costume change. Maybe it's over the Batman suit or the horse suit or whatever you want to call it.
Well, this could be a stance thing as well. Like he's got two different costumes. You switch between them and get different movesets. Like he's combo.
That would be
that
cool.
Could work.
So what he'll do is he'll like, pull his jacket down a little bit to show off his like really bright jewelry, and that will like stun another player. And then he will cut a cord that will just magically appear because it's a game, and a chandelier will fall on them.
Yeah, the chandelier. The chandelier is coming. I'd also like if he had sort of like. It's like almost like a wrestling move where he lands on someone, but it's when he's falling through the
That's
bar.
That's exactly what I was going to say, yes. like an elbow drop, but it's him falling through the bar.
The bar. People knock off Only Fools and Horses. It's occasionally on TV. I'll put it on. It's enjoyable.
You watch the whole episode, don't you? If you catch it, you watch it to the end.
Very long as well. You forget how they're like an hour long. Only
no, they're not. Really?
Maybe with adverts, but they're long episodes. But yeah. Any more for Del, or is that Del's full move set?
That's his full move set. But feel free if you've got some, add them on.
No, I thought you absolutely nailed that. That ticks every box we're looking for BSS. I think so. He's on the roster.
Good stuff.
First up, I couldn't not do something for my Alan Partridge. I couldn't not, but I'm not going for Alan because again, it's too obvious.
He'd be rubbish as well.
Yeah. I've gone for Michael the Geordie from I'm Alan Partridge. SAS trained. He's been in the army. He's seen things. Because his basic moveset is he just has a gun and he moves on fire. He moves on fire. That's what he does. Mm-hmm. And he's very nimble. He's basically a bit like Snake in Smash Bros, but Michael the Geordie. Imagine that. would be. He also has kind of like an incendiary, like throwable grenade, which is just a very hot cup of beans.
That's genuinely good.
He does have a spoon, but he has no reason to use it, so he will not be bringing that out. This will mean so little to some people, but I love that we're having fun. And I don't really feel too much about it, to be honest. And he's got one ultimate ability where he just calls in an Apache helicopter and that's it. And it just kills everyone. And then he just flies it into the sea at the end. It's kind of, it's a great, that's like his victory screen, is him just flying a helicopter into the sea. It's fantastic. I get Michael the Geordie in BSS is what I want. Joe,
yeah,
who's next up?
I was thinking about, because a lot of these characters, you're kind of trying to mold them into the shape of a fighting game character. Yeah. But I was trying to think of a sitcom character who comes with like a pure, like unfettered aggression, who would just slot in seamlessly. And initially I was going to say Abe Edmondson's character from The Young Ones, because he's just violence personified. But then I thought, more interesting, I think, would be Patsy from AbFab. Joanna Lumley's character, because she has like a vein of deep anger, and I think, and is also pissed out of her mind most of the time. So you get the kind of, I'm thinking like drunken boxing style, you know, that like weaving like stance.
I've never really watched AbFab, so you're gonna have to catch me up on what these moves could be. Really.
Well, she's just a frightening figure. I'm thinking of her as like as BSS's take on Ganondorf, just like big, like powerful, slow. You don't want to get in her reach.
No.
She'd have like, it would be one of those kind of like a zoning ranged attack, like not something that's going to do loads of damage, but she'd just like flick cigarettes at people, and maybe there's that kind of, you know, like Sakurai likes to put in little details. It's like, the flicks will be randomized, and if it hits you with one end, with like the filter end, doesn't do that much. But if it hits you 25% of the time, it will hit you with the ash end, and maybe you get set on fire.
Bit of burn damage, yeah.
And I just think she'd just fucking smash people with a wine bottle. That basically be it. Just like really dangerous, like aggressive attacks from Patsy.
I like that.
I like
Patsy
that. Patsy
is in. Yeah. Emma, who's next?
All right, I went for Nessa from Gavin and Stacey.
Yes, good.
that would work.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can see it.
You can see her in the leather skirt and, you know, her tattoos.
Just absolutely smashing people up.
Just charging through the stage. Like, I'm thinking high speed, like, barreling at people. That would be really good.
Yeah. Like, is it King Dedede from
Imagine? Yes.
I don't know if she has a big hammer. What does she have?
So, one thing I thought that would be quite cool, and we kind of mentioned this with Del a little bit, but you know how, like, Zelda can, like, bring out that, like, knight?
Yeah.
Like, shoots across the stage a little bit. I was thinking, with Nessa, she could call out, like, Dave's coaches. So he, like, drives onto the stage in his
this
coach.
This is the most I've heard about Gavin and Stacey for years.
We're bringing it back. We're making it relevant again. Yeah, so Dave would drive on, and then you can control the coach kind of like Wario's bike.
Mm-hmm.
So you can just kind of like drive into people and knock them off stage and stuff. I also think like she spends a lot of time like working in the arcade. So like her like just regular like one of her like neutral moves or a B move would just be like throwing coins at people.
That's good.
And then if you throw like enough coins, a like arcade cabinet will like shoot up from the floor, and that will be like,
that's genuinely a great Smash Brothers mechanic. Like, you throw enough to activate the one big hit. Like, that's
I hope Sakurai's listening.
Sakurai, I mean,
I hope so.
What's he gonna do after Smash Brothers? He literally did the Smash Brothers Ultimate. He's got all of his characters. Before he retires, I want to see him do BSS.
It's a nice project.
I think it'd be a nice, like, very different vibe for him, but in his comfort zone.
Is there any more to Nessa, or is that it? Just kind of big, powerful just big, powerful energy, really, from Nessa, is what we've got.
She is. I feel like she would be a character that would, like, shout as well and use that to her advantage. So kind of
just
like...
shout.
Yeah, yeah, you know, like...
We've had, like... Attack of the Arcade Machine, driving coaches into people and shouting.
But yeah, she would use it kind of like Kirby's move. You know when Kirby like sucks you in and like steals your powers?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It would be like the opposite of that. So the shouting would like push people away. I don't know, you'd have like all kind of stuff on screen to show that off.
Blowing Del Boy's Batman costume off.
Yeah, yeah.
So he can't use his moves.
It's all coming together in the mind now, isn't
it? It is. You can see it, can't you? You can see it playing out.
I'm calling it now.
Amazing.
Nessa's OP. It's just...
Yes. Oh, definitely. Without a doubt, yeah. And her taunt would be, oh, what's occurring as well? Because
yeah, of course.
You have to, don't you? You
absolutely.
Have to.
Exactly. Amazing. Another good shout. I just kind of picked some of my favourite sitcoms and thought, who the hell could fit in? Mm-hmm. So next I've gone with The League of Gentlemen.
I was thinking League of Gentlemen.
Such a massive cast of weird characters. I was originally going to go Papa La Joux, but then I thought, is that okay nowadays? I don't know.
Yeah.
Although they insist he's fine. I'm, you know, not for me to say. Instead, I'm going with Edward and Tubbs tag team.
Yes.
So the owners
like
of the
Ice
local
Climbers.
Shop.
Oh my yes. gosh. That's amazing.
Exactly. basically, Tubbs, she can throw explosives, her snow globes, they just explode and cause ice damage, mm-hmm. Slippery surfaces, people sliding all over the place.
Yeah.
Edward. So there is a storyline in The League of Gentlemen where Edward killed a chimpanzee, a goat and a pig, sliced them together and buried them in a construction quarry to scare away road builders.
Yeah.
What a show. He can just deploy that as a stun. Anyone who sees it is stunned for a couple of seconds. They're like, what the hell is that?
I'm just, I mean, turning people into scarecrows is a good, like, station, you know, like a freeze move as well. You can,
yeah, exactly.
You can get that.
I'm just thinking of the stages as well, like a Royston Vasey stage would be amazing, just the village street and the village shop as well. Like, And their ultimate, of course, has got to be unleashing their son, David. they just shout, David! And he comes in and just has a go at everyone. Imagine a giant like werewolf-like thing.
I'm thinking like Bob in Overwatch. Like
yeah
a bit like that
flies
exactly.
in yeah
they just shout David and in he comes and they're just terrifying people aren't they? And they'll just shout a lot of stuff like local like this is a local stage for local people
that's
stuff
very
like
good.
That
is very good.
It's just yeah
well this These started as a bit incredible. Of fun but I genuinely think we've got a hit on our hands.
Oh, I want to play it
we're
now,
getting
yeah.
into it yeah
oh is yeah. it me
It's the last round, yeah. Who else have we got to fill out?
All
there?
Right.
The initial nine. Maybe later we'll come back to this and add DLC.
Yeah, we'll do DLC. I do like the idea. I didn't think about the stages at all because the Dark Place Hospital would be a really good stage.
Because
you could have the, you know, like the, you know, the Hyrule Castle stage where you've got like the cave at the bottom and stuff.
Yes.
You could do like the basement of Dark Place Hospital underneath like the normal wards and then the roof where he always plays saxophone. Oh, it works so well. You should watch Garth Marenghi's Dark Place ever. My final one, I've barely watched this show, but I just think it would be a really funny character design. I'm going for Jim Royal from The Royal Family because I like the idea of him.
I almost did The Royal Family.
Him
yeah.
like flying around on his armchair like he never gets out of it. Like he's driving about in it. Just belching
like
and yeah, exactly. throwing, yeah, he's the Rob. So he's got
throwing
like
club biscuits at people. And
yeah,
stuff
and
like
he's
that.
Got like yeah. I actually genuinely don't know very much about Jim Royal, but I just think that's a really funny image. I'm thinking like limited jump abilities, but really high damage like dash moves. Yeah, doesn't he get really sad when, like, the old lady dies? So maybe he just cries at people
Nana,
as well.
Yeah, he would, wouldn't he? Yeah, yeah, he would. Yeah, I mean...
he's got an emotional side. Like, most of these characters are just pure fun. But he's got an edge of drama.
I mean, he's known for... He keeps hold of that remote. Maybe he can do something with the remote. Maybe make people rewind or slow down or something.
Oh, that's
I don't know.
A good idea. Yeah, I like that.
Like the film Click.
Maybe, like the film Click. Maybe he's... maybe given he's got a bit more sort of depth to his character, he could be like the lead character in the campaign mode, like Subspace Emissary. He like has to, it's like Jim Royal on a journey through. Oh, because he's watching TV and all the other characters are on it. So that's why he's fighting them all.
It's like WandaVision, basically.
Yes, WandaVision. Why not?
Amazing. Jim Royal's in. I mean, no one's going to be denied from this roster, I don't think. Jim Royal's definitely
Everyone is here.
There's plenty of room.
Nessa, Doughboy. Who's next?
Because that's it. You'd want the normal Smash Bros. Guy who shouts the names.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Jim Royal!
Emma, who's last up for you?
So I went for Jim from Friday Night Dinner. Have you guys seen Friday Night Dinner?
Yes, big
I have seen, yes.
So, yeah, like he's like the strange neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I feel like we'd have to have his dog in the game somehow.
Yep.
So I was thinking maybe you could have like Wilson is sort of like his projectile.
Okay.
So you sort of like send Wilson out. But sometimes, now Joe mentioned like having that like random element.
Mm.
I'm going to say like maybe a third of the time, the dog will also drag him across the stage.
That's good. Mm-hmm.
So he'll kind of like slide along and just smash into people.
You could also have Wilson like shitting elsewhere on the stage and then people like slipping in it.
That would be so good. Oh my gosh, yeah. I didn't even consider that. Yeah, I feel like Wilson has to be a big part of his character because they're just always together, right? Like episode.
I'm trying to think. Is it Rosalina in Smash Bros. Who has like the
oh, she has Luma. Yeah.
The Luma. And that's like her attack. So she doesn't really have much of an attack to her. She's just like the base character. So he's got that
like
same
V
like
in Devil May Cry.
Exactly. He's V in Devil May Cry 5. He's got Wilson. That would be really good. There's some really, Emma, yours have been actual good game mechanics. Mine has like, Patsy has a wine bottle and some cigarettes. You've actually got like, no, I'm going to apply some real proper design thinking to these characters.
Mm-hmm. Spent way too much time on this last night.
Is there any more to him, or is Wilson the main mechanic?
So, the Wilson's definitely the main. I think Jim, he's very clingy. So, I feel like if you do manage to sort of push him off the stage, he's going to be able to get back on, like, really easily. So, he can recover, like, super easily. So, if you push him off, his arms and legs will, like, stretch really long so that he can try and, like, grab onto, like, a ledge or another character. Because I feel like that's basically like what happens in the show. Like he's always trying to get into their house and have dinner with them, and they're always like, no, thank you.
Yeah.
Also, I feel like he should be able to teleport too and like creep up behind people.
Why not?
Like, you know, just sort of popping up all over the place. Because that's kind of what happens in the show as well. Like, he's always at the window, or he's at the door, or he's in the back garden or on the roof or wherever. So, yeah. And I feel like he would be really good fighting, like, up close and personal as well. He'd have some good little punches.
He's also in. We will have to differentiate between the two Jims here. Is Jim Royal Jim Royal? Or is he Royal or JR? I mean, I don't know how we're... could get messy is what I'm thinking.
I think he's, you know, he's written on the screen as Royal.
But
you do have to have the Jim Royal whenever he gets selected.
Exactly. Yeah, and we could have Jim and Wilson. For Jim, maybe.
Nice. We've only got one more. Go on.
I've just started thinking about theme tunes as well. Like, imagine the fucking soundtrack. You've got Half the World Away by Oasis coming on.
Victory screen.
I'm really hoping you're about to say Peep Show, because I think Flagpole Sitter would also be a really good soundtrack.
I didn't do
choice.
Peep Show, because I was convinced you were going to do Peep Show.
I did.
And I thought Super Hands is exactly. too
Super Hands is good. So good. Like, him, we've just, let's have a brief segue to talk about Superhand's interactions in this game, because I'm thinking he's chucking snakes at people. He runs really fast, because he's got, because he goes to Wembley. Oh, Windsor.
Windsor.
Yeah, I just remembered that we made a joke that I'd run to Wembley, and I'm now Superhand's in my own head. What else would he do? I mean, obviously, you could choose different drugs to take that have different effects on his abilities. so that he's like,
there's the great bit where he smashes the TV.
Yeah, and maybe his ultimate is summoning the twins.
You know, the twins.
Exactly.
That'd be great.
I'm always talking about the bloody Zupan. Twins.
Yeah, sorry, do your final one.
My final one is actually, it's an ambitious concept here for a character. I'm going for the priests from Father Ted.
All of them?
So, here's the concept of the character. So you start as Father Ted Crilly, mm-hmm. and he holds the holy stone of Clon Ricket, yep. which is a big part of one episode, and that allows him to transform into different priests, okay. kind of shadow characters. So each one has different abilities. I've got a few examples. Of course, Father Jack has strong melee attacks with his hairy hands, mm-hmm. Like very powerful man. Father Noel Furlong, that's Graham Norton's one. He has a sonic shriek. He does a big shouting contest in the caves. Is a maybe my favourite episode. Also, Father Finnegan, he's the dancing priest. He has an agile moveset. He has a bit of mixed martial arts to him as well. So kind of him going up against Sanchez could be a very good fight if the Holy Stone if the random roll on that gives you a Father Finnegan. And my last example of that would be Father Finton Stack, who is just a horrible priest. He's the one who replaces Jack when he has the hairy hand syndrome. So he just plays ear bleeding jungle music out very loud and smokes a lot. I just like the idea of lots of shadow character priests coming in, and you don't know which one you're going to get when you enter the arena.
Oh, yeah, that's quite good. Like, if the transformation is completely random, so that you as a player have to react on the fly as well.
Like, they're all very good characters, but it's a high risk strategy because you might just summon one you don't know as well. Mm. So, like, but they're all powerful in their own way. So, yeah. I want to keep it to the priest, but maybe once in a blue moon, you get a very powerful Mrs. Doyle who just serves tea and just chucks very hot tea at everyone. So that would be quite good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like much of this is like a random number generation game as well. Like, there's something, like, you can only get away with that in a Smash Bros. Type game. I think that suits us. It's our USP.
Yeah.
At our studio.
I feel like that's a great. Well, that's our roster so far. I feel like we've got to do a feedback section for that. I mean, people got to send in their ideas.
Yeah.
Send in who you think should join the first batch of DLC on the BSS roster.
We do retain copyright on anything you send in, though.
Exactly.
So just know that you are not entitled to royalties for any choices we make.
Gym royalties. IGN_UK feedback@IGN.com if you want to do that. Said I've got another little feature. This will be quite quick. I have people every now and then ask me, is this film good? Or they say, oh, how's the IMDb going? And do you know what? I haven't updated in a little while, but I just like, occasionally I mention a film on here and then someone messaged me saying, I watched that film. It was very good. I never heard of it before you said it. So thank you. Mm. So I thought, what I've done here is I've gone through each decade, starting with the 1950s, and gone, here's five or six films from this decade that maybe you haven't seen that I think you should see. And these aren't like obvious films. I've not gone, you should watch Alien, or you should watch Psycho, or you should watch The Godfather or Star Wars. They're, some of them are big films, but you know, some of them are films maybe that go under the radar a little. So I mean, this is just basically, I'll do a different decade on slower weeks. I'm not going to do all like nine decades, whatever it is, seven decades. So shall I start with the 50s or should we just go random? Should we pick a decade?
Go with the 50s, mate. I don't know anything about the bloody 50s.
No, I mean, so there's some here that may be obvious to people, but people just haven't seen. And I'd say in each of these decades, I've gone with one massive film that you should have seen. Mm-hmm. So, and the first one is a very obvious one, but it's Vertigo. But I imagine a lot of people haven't seen Vertigo, despite it being commonly voted like the best film ever made. I don't personally think it's the best film ever made. It's a very, very good film, though. And it just edged out North by Northwest as my Hitchcock pick for the 50s. Mm. If you don't know what Vertigo is, it's the story of a retired San Francisco detective who suffers from acrophobia, who investigates strange activities of an old friend's wife, all the while becoming dangerously obsessed with her. It's just a very good thriller. I don't know if either of you have seen Vertigo.
I actually haven't, much to my
embarrassment.
This is the point of this section. Watch Vertigo. It's incredible. My second one, 12 Angry Men from 1957. Have either of you seen 12 Angry Men?
No.
No.
You're about to name loads of big films that I should have watched that I haven't, and I'm going to out myself
exactly.
as a rube.
This is the point. This is the point. I'm trying to encourage people to watch these films. If you don't know what 12 Angry Men is, it's basically, you've got like, it's the jury, a jury is out and they're discussing, it's a whole film set in a jury room, essentially. It's 12 men trying to decide if a young Spanish-American man is guilty of murdering his father. And it's basically an hour and a half, roughly, of just debate and talking about trying to work out this case, basically, all set in one room. And it's just very, if you want a very good courtroom drama of an hour and a half tense chat, then, you know, that's the film for you. I wouldn't say it's a film you watch over and over again, because once you know how it ends, you're like, that's it, kind of, if you know what I mean. I've watched it once and really enjoyed it. From 1950, we've got Rashomon. Have you seen Rashomon?
No.
I have not.
I know what it is, though, because everyone copies it.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like, and this would be my... I think this is my first Kurosawa film, and it's a good first Kurosawa film, because it's probably as... I don't know, that and The Seventh Samurai are probably a good place to start. But if you don't know what Rashomon is, it is... It's a film about... I don't want to get too wanky. It's a very, like... It's about the human condition, essentially. But it kind of is famous because it was doing clever things at the time. As in, it's all about this one story, but told four different ways. So it uses like camera and flashbacks to basically reveal the complexity of human nature. And it's about four different people recounting different versions of one story of a man's murder and the rape of his wife. So it's, you know, it's not as you know, horrible as it sounds, but basically, yeah, it's like the same story told four different ways and trying to work out who's telling the truth, essentially. It's a very good film. Yeah, and we've got two more. Have you really seen The Searchers from 1956?
No, okay. I've heard of it, but I haven't seen it.
It's a Western. It's John Ford and John Wayne, and I don't really like John Wayne that much, but I do love The Searchers. And it's basically, he plays a Civil War veteran who spends years searching for his young niece who's been captured by Native American Indians. But his motivation becomes increasingly questionable. It's a film that, like, it's a very interesting film to watch, because it's the way it approaches racism, like, wasn't really being done back then. And I don't want to spoil it, but it's just a very interesting film. And it's got one of the most famous, like, last final shots of a film. It's just very beautiful to look at. And the last one, and this is by far the wankiest choice on all of these. I will say the 50s is going to be the one where people are like, these sound old and wanky. We get towards the 70s, 80s, 90s that people are like, oh, these sound cool. this is the last one. Diabolique, or Le Diabolique, mm-hmm. is a French black and white horror film that is seriously one of the freakiest films you'll ever watch. It is so good. I don't want to ruin it, but it has one of the best twists in any film you'll ever see as well. And basically, it's about this man who is murdered by his wife and his mistress. Mm-hmm. And the women become increasingly unhinged by a series of odd occurrences after his corpse mysteriously disappears. And it's a very cool premise. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to say anything more about it than it's a French black and white horror film, which will instantly put a lot of people off. But it's a really cool story.
That sounds like something that would have been remade. Like,
I think was the film Gaslight, maybe? I know that Psycho definitely, like, helped inspire Psycho a lot. Let me see, has it been remade? I've only ever seen the French version.
Of course.
Let's have a look. Diabolique. It was remade in 1996, but by French. Yeah, I don't know if it has had an American remake.
I'm not saying should have. I'm just saying it's interesting.
No, I know what you mean. It feels like a sort of story that would have been redone.
Yeah.
But yeah, there you go. There's some picks. Let me know if you watch any of those. And we'll be back for some more popular ones later. Of course, we started with the 50s, but you know.
I might watch Le Diabolique. I'm interested.
It sounds really cool.
It's really good.
I mean, I might watch lots of those. I'm not saying the rest weren't interesting. It's just that one I'd not heard of.
It is really cool. I've got the Blu-ray.
All right.
Yeah. Okay,
send it in an Uber. Send it in an Uber. Come on.
Here's my... I bet when Le Diabolique was made, they never thought it would be sent in an Uber to someone.
On Blu-ray.
Exactly. But yeah, there we go. Should we do an endless search?
It feels like we've been playing games for ages. Well, let's do more.
Exactly. Inside, in the UK, IGN crew. Yeah, and the ones and twos. We got the games gonna play for you. Inside, I got a question for you. Hold tight, the DJ, we coming through. Yeah, and the ones and twos. We got the games gonna play for you. Inside, I got a question for you. Is it endless search? So, I've done an endless search this week, and I've kept it simple. I thought, let's just do a bit of video game character. Who am I? I'm going to be a video game character, and you're going to take turns to ask me yes or no questions until one of you has worked out who I am.
Love it.
Very simple concept. Sounds no good. Limit on the questions. It's just until you got it. I've got three here, but we'll see how long the first one or two take, because if the first one lasts forever, we'll just say it's best of one. Okay. So, I've got three characters. Who wants to go first? And they're all yes or no questions, I may remind you.
I'll go first.
Yeah, go for it.
Go on.
Are you from a first-person shooter?
Yes.
Oh, I know it. No, I don't.
Are you a character with a voice?
Yes.
Are you a man?
Yes.
Are you Big Halo John?
No.
Can't remember his name. I just want to point out, I know he's called Master Chief, I just don't know his actual name, just to make that clear.
Big, I love you just didn't know who Master Chief was. That was
Big Halo John. Sorry.
Have you been in a game that's released in the last 3 years?
Yes.
I'm trying to narrow it down and I'm just confusing myself more.
In the last 3 years? Was your game critically acclaimed?
Yes, yeah.
Can I just make a guess?
You can, of course you can make a guess.
Are you the Doomslayer, Doom guy?
No. Dun, dun, dun. Lots of different questions you can ask here. You can ask them about the game as well, if that helps.
Yeah. Is your game a console exclusive?
No.
Are you from a game that has a campaign and multiplayer modes?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know. Like, I've answered all these questions truthfully, but, you know, some of them may mislead, is what I'm, you know.
I need to write down the answers. I've forgotten what I've already asked.
You've got a first-person character who has had a game in the last 3 years, has single-player, has multiplayer... Is a man?
It's not console exclusive.
Not console exclusive.
What the fuck?
And none of these are obscure characters, by the way. I've picked. You know, I've not gone.
Is this character the? Are you the lead character of your campaign of the game's campaign?
No.
Interesting.
It's an old one to answer, but no, because I think the way you've asked that is no.
I want to take another guess.
I mean, yeah, that counts as a question.
Are you Adler? from Black Ops?
Do players play as you?
Yes.
Okay.
This is really hard.
No. If at any point you need clues, I can provide, because this could go on forever.
Feels like it might.
Yeah, maybe this get a little clue.
Well, I would say that Emma got warmest of her last.
Okay.
Last one. You're getting warmer.
Okay.
And when I say they have a game in the last 3 years, that doesn't mean they haven't had games before that well.
Yeah.
Is what I would say. Don't focus on, they don't have to have arrived in the last 3 years.
Do you have any like special skills or abilities?
What, like that a normal person wouldn't have, like special powers?
Yeah.
No.
Are you Captain Price?
I am Captain Price.
Yeah.
There we go. 1-0 to Joe. Got a couple more. That was probably the hardest one to be fair, to start with.
I'm ready.
Number two. Joe starts this time. Who am I? Who could I be?
Are you a player character?
Yes. Does that narrow it down?
Are you from a battle royale?
No.
Do you use weapons? That's interesting.
Some of them aren't as simple, you know. It means it's not obvious. Mm-hmm. If it's, let me just see. Technically, yes, but I wouldn't get hung up on that, okay?
Okay.
Can I ask the same questions that I've asked before? Has your game released in the last 3 years?
They have had a game released in the last 3 years, yeah. I'll say it's the same as before, then, you know.
Are you human?
They've had ones previously. Yes. Yeah. Oh, sorry, that's just a yes. It's not like a...
What is human?
Yes. Asking the big questions.
So we've got a playable human.
A playable human. Do you have a voice?
Such a good question. Right, that's... Yes.
What?
Okay. Yeah. You have it and we hear it in the game.
I shouldn't have picked such a... one that has... Yeah. What a weird way to answer that question.
Are you a Nintendo character?
Yes.
Oh. And you're human?
Yeah, we've had that.
So that narrows it down a little bit.
Yeah, I can confirm I am a human Nintendo.
A human Nintendo. Are you a man?
No.
Are you Princess Peach?
I am Princess Peach.
Wow, yeah. That was good.
Whoa. I'm really glad.
Were you looking at me and going, Princess Peach?
I was. You've got an aspect. I was gonna go for Luigi, but then the man
Luigi
question came up.
So, do you know what I mean? Like she does in Smash Bros. She does have weapons.
Yes. Yeah.
She's got that like turnip or something, right?
Yeah.
She does have a voice actor, but in not many games really. But,
she mostly just goes "Ooh!" like that.
That was a very good piece.
As she gets taken away somewhere.
It is 2-0 to Joe. Do we want to do the third one?
I love this game.
Do it to save
face. Yeah, we should do it. Go
on.
Come on,
save
some
face. Come on. Right, the third one. Who the hell am I?
Oh, I'm going first, I know.
Yeah.
Are you from an RPG?
No. And if some people argue this game's an RPG, no. Maybe it has small RPG elements, but I would not call this game an RPG.
Okay.
Are you human?
I was.
It's better not be an Outrider, Cardi. I don't want to have to deal it's with not naming an Outrider.
I technically am, but I might not look like one.
Okay.
Did your game release in the last 2 years? So this year or last year?
No.
Okay. Are you considered a classic character? Actually, I would scrap that. Can I make that clearer? Are you a character that has appeared in multiple games?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you have a voice?
No. A bit of a groan or something. You're not going to speak to one.
To one.
That helps.
Are you a player character?
Yeah, but also not.
Okay.
sometimes.
Right.
I realise I'm not answering these yes or no, but I'm just trying to make it
fair.
Okay, so you appear human. So are you like an alien in disguise?
No. How dare you ask that to me?
That makes it sound like you're a man in black. Are you? I don't fucking know.
I will say, when you ask the playable question, I'd say, in one game I am, in another game I'm not.
Behind this door? fucking hell. Are you demonically possessed?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm not. I love if someone just tunes it at this point. Just ask. It's like we're just grilling me. Like
just very chill.
Like, yeah.
Are you like the main character in your? Like, are you like an iconic character from like this series of games?
I would say it's a very iconic character. Yeah, it's I would say it's at this point in time you would call this an iconic character.
I genuinely have no idea.
This game, it's harder than you think, isn't it, really, to narrow this down.
And then when you tell us, we'll be like, oh, of course.
Is it my go?
Yeah.
Are you a fighting game character? Or do you appear in a fighting game roster?
That's a good question. I don't know why I'm asking that's a good question, because I'm... That's why I'm thinking it, because they are in a video. Yeah, they are in one. Yes. They are in a. They are definitely in one. I just had to check it.
Jesus.
Are you old?
That's not really. I don't know. That's not a question I can.
Like, do you have grey hair?
I don't know.
Not that makes you old, but just like, you
okay,
know.
If this makes it clear. Technically, I'm a human, but you might never see the human part of me.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, it's not an obscure character. It's just very hard. I shouldn't have picked it because it's almost impossible to answer any questions about them.
Is one of your games an FPS?
Yes.
Fucking hell.
I would call it that anyway.
And you're not even human.
It is an FPS. It's definitely. I don't know what clues could I give here.
I think we need a clue. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll be here forever.
So, in the first game in this series, I'm considered a villain, but in the second, I'm not.
That feels like such a big clue, and I can't work out what that is.
I think it's one of those... I mean, and this is going to sound stupid. When, like me, you know who it is, it sounds very obvious. But when you're trying to think of any video game, I can say that the... Maybe this will help. Let me say that... The first... game in this series came out on Xbox 360. On that generation, and later came to PlayStation 3 in 2007. I'd also say it's one of the most critically acclaimed games of all time.
This is so annoying. Wait. No.
I don't know.
It's a game Jesse hasn't played, I believe.
People are going to be going fucking mental at home, aren't they?
They might not, because it's... I don't know. Yeah, what else can I... Without just completely...
The dates.
I've had 3 games in the series. One was a sequel, one was not really.
What?
Not really.
It did it win our game of the year? I don't know. So that what did we give it? We gave it a 9.7 out of 10 when it came out.
Wow.
Oh my god.
It won our PC game of the year 2007. Takes place underwater.
Oh, for fuck's sake. You're a big daddy.
I am a big daddy. Look at me.
Oh, my gosh.
Come on. You should have guessed that immediately. Just looked at me and gone, are you a big daddy? And I would have gone, yes, I am.
Today and every day.
Today, I will be a big daddy.
That would have been a very
in the end,
that would have been a very funny start in their eyes. Someone comes out as a big daddy.
What the hell are you singing? Right. Anyway, that was a good game in the end. I think I don't know. Probably painful for some listening, but don't blame me. You can blame me all you want.
It was fun.
Have a little... It was. It's always fun for us. I feel. we've got some feedback. Let's do the feedback quickly, because we do run long these days, but I don't think... Is anyone complaining? When I listen to podcasts, I often want more, so who knows?
It sounds like you're getting quite defensive about something that hasn't happened yet, Cardi.
No, I'm just very wary that we used to be like a 50-minute to an hour podcast. Now we're like hour and a half consistently. But I'm into it. Emma, you've got the first piece of feedback, I think.
Yeah, so this is from Daniel Roberts. Says, hello, you lovely lot. I hope you're all doing well. Are we doing well? Are we all good?
Yeah,
I am well. Yeah, Friday, I'm a big daddy.
He's a big daddy. And I get to look at a big daddy. So that's my whole...
We're so lucky.
My interest.
I write to you now at 1 a.m. during a bothersome bout of insomnia. Oh, that's rubbish. And with a 14-hour shift ahead of me in the next 6 hours. Decided it was prudent to send a message. Well,
let's do it.
Hopefully we'll be staying up with you next time you're listening to the podcast. I recently played The Ascent, and it was on Game Pass and apparently interesting enough, so I gave it a go. To my horror, when beginning the game, I know, I was met with the most meagre character creation I had seen in a long time. The worst being that I could not name my character.
It is shocking. I say shocking. I'm not having a proper go at the game. I just found it shocking. I'm like, I like a good character creation. And yeah,
you can't be Big Daddy
do that.
In The Ascent.
Exactly. Exactly.
As I've mentioned in another email, I love creating characters. Be they Wildlands Johnny Freedom, a George Michael loving US Patriot motocross champion. That's good. A mouthful.
I like Johnny Freedom.
Jimmy the Creep, a rogue, as well as his sister, Crimmy the Jeep, a heavy weapons expert.
Crimmy the Jeep.
I went into the ascent already with a character in mind, Quantum Keith.
Yes.
I like Quantum Keith.
Quantum Keith is Daniel's take on a Buck Rogers type. Very nice.
Nice.
I was left heartbroken when I realised that my name would exist purely in my head. Well, it's all right. It exists in ours as well now.
Exactly.
So my question, sorry it's taken so long, is do you think that if a game is going to have such a basic and unsatisfying character creation section, that they should maybe not even have it, but instead just create characters that the player can engage with? It's an interesting
question. I do agree, Daniel. The character creation in the Ascent is poor, and I love a good character creation. Like I said, I started up Skate 3 last night, and I spent way too long making a character that looks nothing like me, and I probably won't see again for a long time.
I did the same thing.
The Ascent one's bad. I think they purely have it just because it is a co-op game and it allows you to look different from your friends so you can easily spot them more than anything. I think it's probably from a gameplay point of view, but yeah, the actual choices available are poor. And yeah, it's a shame you can't name your character.
It feels to me like, if I'm remembering correctly, the Ascent is a pretty small team, and it feels to me like that's the co-op thing is the right thing. It's like, you don't want four people who look exactly the same, but they probably, I mean, they made a game that looks kind of incredible for the size of studio they are. And like, maybe exactly. It's just a point, you know, it's just a resources thing. It's like getting that involved.
It's a shame you all just, you can overpick. You can just be a human. Like, there's so many cool looking alien races and creatures in that game. Like, let me be a cool looking alien or something.
That's what I've
like,
said I'd for like years. That. The next Mass Effect game should not let you pick to be a human. You should have to be an alien.
I want to be a Turian.
I want to be a...
I haven't finished three yet.
I want to be one of them. What's Morden called? What are they called again? Bug eyed boys.
Salarian?
Salarian. I want to be a Salarian. That'd be cool.
Yeah. I want a Turian. Yeah, I'm still going through three. I just did the Omega DLC stuff, and Nyrene was one of my favourite characters. Mm. Fantastic. I like a Turian. I want to be one. But yeah, Daniel, it's a shame. I like a good character creation, and the Ascent is not good. Joe, you're up. Another Daniel.
Daniel Tate reminds me of the very poor indie band Little Man Tate, if anyone remembers that from 2008. Right.
Wow.
Hi. This is not really a possession story. I forgot we asked for possession stories.
I think we did also ask for monkey stories, but we'll save those up maybe. Maybe the monkey
special. Do you think we're
going
to get a monkey
coming.
Special?
Who knows?
That would be fucking great. Right, possession. This is not really a possession story, but it's the closest I have to one and cannot remember any of it. Okay, good start. So this was back in 2012, I think. It was whenever the royal wedding happened that gave us an extra bank holiday around the May bank holiday. Which wedding was it? Oh, Kate and Wills. I took a couple of extra days off work and planned 5 days of drinking. Now, as a 20-year-old living at home with no expenses, this was a great idea. It got to the third or fourth night and I'd been for a night out in Newcastle. Yes, please. World headquarters. Don't really remember getting home, but do remember sitting, eating crisps and drinking water before passing out in my bed. I awoke to the next morning to my mam yelling at me. Isn't it great when someone with my accent says mam? We'll come back to the content of the shouting soon. My mam was awake around 6 a.m. and heard a rumbling happening upstairs. Kept an ear out and just assumed I was going for a slash in a drunken slumber. I would love it if that was her words. I kept an ear out and assumed you were just going for a slash in a drunken slumber. She waited and the noise subsided. 10 minutes later, she heard me again. She waited, and the noise subsided again. She decided to investigate. Waddled up the stairs. What a horrible way to write your mum's walking. Waddled up the stairs to find me in my bedroom, bollock naked, facing the far wall. Somehow got me to go back to bed and went back downstairs. 10 minutes later, you guessed it, she heard me up and about again. Came upstairs, but I'm fast asleep in bed. Goes to her bedroom where my little sister was sleeping because some work was getting done in her bedroom. No quilt. Look down the side of the bed. Nothing.
Oh, no.
Went into the bathroom to find her quilt perfectly laid out on the floor and my boxer shorts in the corner. Then she heard my sister shout, Mom! That's the sound the sister makes. The bed's all wet. Now back to the yelling. I was awoken to my mom shouting, Dan, you have pissed all over my bed. To which I replied, it wasn't me. I received the well-witty, well, it wasn't fucking me, was it? So, yeah. Either possessed or drunk and sleepwalking, you decide. I had arisen, thought my mum's floor was the bathroom, peed all over her bed, which my sister was sleeping in, all over the floor, and even in the wardrobe, all over her clothes. Needless to say, I had to pay to replace everything and apologised. But I still went out on the drink that night. Apologies for the long email. Even if you don't read it out on the podcast, hopefully this gives you all a chuckle. Lots of things to respect in this email. The sea, alcohol, your mother, but unfortunately, no respect for myself.
I like that.
Possessed by drink.
I definitely did something similar when I was like, my parents have a story of when I was like six. I almost did that on holiday. Because like, I was on holiday in a house and I tried to like, I thought that I must have been sleepwalking and thought the toilet was their wardrobe in like the house we were staying in. I think they stopped me before I actually did it though. So
good.
Yeah, it's very good. Yeah, no one wants... is it possession, though? That's what we've got to get to the bottom of here. Or is it just a very drunk man?
It's definitely a very drunk man.
Definitely drunk, yeah.
It was a very, very clever way of getting us to cover you having pissed on your mum's bed.
Something that most people wouldn't be so eager to share, but it sounds like Daniel really wanted to tell us.
Daniel is into it. He's into the scene.
Respect the scene. I've got one last email here from Anthony Clegg, who says, Hi guys, love the plod, love the pod, blah blah. I'm the guy who introduced butter on Weetabix, which seemed to start a whole debacle of podcast listener shenanigans. It really was one of those points in our lives that we'll never forget.
It's a nexus.
Yes. The main highlight for me was when Joe said, Anthony Clegg, you're a fucking freak.
I stand by it.
You definitely said that, because that's the sort of thing you say. Which to this day is still my message tone.
Aww, that's lovely.
That's fantastic.
If you want a new one, Anthony Clegg, you're a very nice boy. See if he'll use that one.
Nah, stick with the freak.
Yeah, stick with the freak.
Anyway, on to the point. I was talking with a friend about how many meals a day we have.
What? Oh, man, the pandemic has fucking ruined small talk, hasn't it? You get back to the pub and you're like... So,
How many meals do you have?
How many meals a day are you averaging? Fucking hell.
Three? Yeah, me too.
Solid
three. You know what? Actually, I rescind the very nice boy. You're a fucking freak, Anthony.
There we go. He says, I was talking to a friend about how many meals a day we have. When I pointed out, I only really have lunch and dinner. Similar to me.
Yeah.
Same. But when I was younger, I couldn't survive without four meals. Cornflakes for breakfast, sandwich packed lunch at school, a large evening meal, and then a second bowl of cornflakes for supper. My mate thought this was mental. So I ask you, is breakfast cereal for supper mental, or was my friend brought up wrong? Anyway, respect the sea, the sky, and football day.
Do not respect the sky. I want it put out there. No. We do not respect the sky on this podcast.
What I will say here is that I'm kind of... I do sympathise, actually, with Anthony the Freak. I don't have breakfast, so I kind of do my meals in reverse, in a way. So I have lunch and dinner, but then I do often have a bowl of cereal at, like, 11 p.m. or something. Because I'm weird and I stay up till like 2 a.m. most days, I kind of have dinner at like... Normally I have quite an early dinner, between like 6 and 7. So by 11, I'm a little bit hungry again. So I kind of have my breakfast in the evening as kind of almost like a dessert. Have a nice cereal as like a dessert. And that keeps me going until like 2 a.m. Because sometimes if I don't do that, and indeed last night is one of these occasions where I stayed up to 2 a.m., 8 at 6 p.m, 8 hours there without food, woke up, still haven't eaten today, and I tell you, my stomach is rumbling.
What you should have done is eaten breakfast today.
Yeah.
That would have been the easy way to do it.
I'm weird that I just don't, I never feel hungry in the morning. Like,
but
when
didn't
I wake
you just
up,
say
like,
you woke up hungry?
But so my stomach, eat. My stomach wakes up hungry. Like, yeah, the thought of eating like kind of makes me a little bit like, I don't know, like, not ill, but...
No, I know. I
you don't
know,
want it, yeah.
You know when you get up really early for a flight and you feel weirdly sick? I get that sometimes.
Yeah. I don't.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm all for breakfast in the evenings.
I'm not. But I don't also don't like cereal. So that's just a thing. I'm just not into
Look at us now having the chat of how many meals a day you have.
No. So we're talking about a very specific question asked to us, Anthony. Mm-hmm. We are not on your side.
I'm quite often a two-meal man.
Yeah, I'm pretty much a two-meal man. I was a one-meal man yesterday, like an idiot.
No.
I just forgot to eat lunch entirely. But then I went out and had a big old kebab with my dad, so it was all right.
Oh, very nice.
So you can't be a big daddy like me unless you have two meals at least a day.
Two meals plus a little midnight carbo load. That's what you got to have.
A little bit of crunchy nut or something. Or Weetabix minis. I like a Weetabix mini.
Oh, I like the bad cereals, the ones that are really bad for you. They've got all the sugar on them.
The only cereal I've liked as an adult was the brief time when they did Crunchy Nut Corn Flakes, but with peanut butter flavouring. And that was pretty much all I wanted.
The peanut butter, like,
not Crunchy Nut Corn Flakes,
clusters.
Yeah, the clusters. Yeah, you can't find them anymore.
Can't you?
No,
I thought you could.
They're the ones.
They're the best.
I love those boys.
Yeah, very good. Anyway, remember, send in your British sitcom smash characters into... Did I say sitcom? I might have said sitcom there. I don't know. To IGN_UKfeedback@IGN.com. And do you know what? I don't want to leave our American friends out. So maybe there's like a season pass where some US sitcom characters come in.
Yeah, like the soup Nazi from Seinfeld comes in. All that stuff. Exactly. Like, get them involved.
And I don't even want to limit to the US. International. Anyone. If you have a great sitcom character, maybe limit it to one. I don't want people sending in like five because, frankly, we will not read.
We're not looking for pitch decks. we want emails. Please.
One that you focus it on one great character. Anyway, I think that's it. What music should we have? I was going to say the Ted Lasso film, but I don't think so. It's got to be some British. Which British sitcom do we want?
Let's have Half the World Away from the Royal Family. It's such a nice song. Family.
Yeah, go on.
As you're listening to this, imagine Jim Royal on his sofa smashing into Nessa. There we go. It's been a pleasure. Goodbye.
Sweet dreams.
Bye.
I would like to leave this city. This old town don't smell too pretty, and I can feel the warning sign running around my mind. So what do you say? You can't give me the dreams in your mind anyway. Half the world away.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.